The Spanish wine scene is so vast and varied that deciding which region to talk about next just isn't that easy. But as the holidays are coming fast and furious, the most appropriate choice in my book is sparkling wine, since millions over the next month or so will be toasting with bubbly all the time. And in Spain, there is plenty of it to go around. Now, just about any region can make its own sparkling wine, and many do, but there is only one DO that specializes in it, and it is called DO Cava, C-A-V-A, in Spanish pronounced Cava because the V is pronounced like a B. Now, Cava is generally associated with the region of Catalonia, and that's because the vast majority of it, about 95%, comes from the wineries there, mainly in the vicinity of a town called Sant Sadurní d'Anoia, which also happens to be one of the centers of the region called Penedès. Now, but let's get one thing straight from the beginning. The denominación de origen, Cava, sets itself apart from the rest in that it isn't restricted to a specific geographic location, even though everyone logically associates it with Catalonia. Cava also has subzones in other parts, and that includes Rioja, Navarra, Valencia, Aragon, and even as far away as Extremadura, near the border of Portugal. To be included in this DO, you have to be admitted by the regulatory board and adhere to the statutes of the DO, which define just about everything involving the process. So now you know that Cava is sort of unique in that sense. And though many people may not recognize the name Cava, or they'll confuse it with Champagne or Italy's Prosecco, it is widely available. It's very popular. Some labels like Fraisinet are widely known. This house actually sells over 1 million bottles alone annually. But before we look into this whole subject of Cava further, you may be asking yourself just how sparkling wine is made. And it's worth taking a look at because it's a fairly complex and sophisticated procedure as far as winemaking is concerned. Cava is made by what they call here the traditional method, or the método tradicional. Sometimes informally it's known as the champagne method, but only in France, really. Simply put, this consists of making white wine the way you normally would. And then once you've done that, you put it in a sturdy bottle, this thick, heavy kind that you'll find for sparkling wine. Then you add a mix of sugar and yeast, and it is called the liqueur de tirage. And you cap the bottle with a typical bottle cap, like for a Coke or something like that. This mixture will produce a second fermentation process, which will carbonate the wine. The bottles are laid horizontally and then slowly redirected downwards on an angle in these special racks. And they are rotated periodically, about 1/8 of a rotation, in some cases daily. This process is known as riddling, and it's done to get the yeast and other residue that has settled at the bottom of the bottle, or the bottom side of the bottle. And what they want is for that all to make its way slowly down to the neck. Once there, the winemakers prepare for the next step, known as disgorging. That is when winemakers usually freeze the neck of the bottle at very low temperatures. Then they remove the cap, and the yeast sort of pops out through the pressure. Usually some of the wine also goes with it, so it gets replenished with other cava. And finally, another dosage, known as liqueur de expedition, is added. This is a blend of liquor and some sugar, and it's there to give it the desired sweetness, unless what you're looking for is the driest version, known as brut nature, which has no additives at all. And then a strong champagne cork is stuffed in, a wire mesh is wrapped around it, and later when the bottle is ready for shipping, they add the aluminum wrap and the label. And that's about it. But I've simplified this a little bit. There are more nuances there, but that's the general idea. The process from beginning to end can take up to 5 years or more, depending on the aging process you are looking for. Now, while this process is nearly identical in both the Champagne region and the Cava region, there are some differences. And one is the choice of grape varieties. In the case of Cava, you have what they call basically the Holy Trinity of white wine grapes known as Macabeu or Macabeo, you find that in other places, Charolais and Barallada. Almost all Cavas from Catalonia, at least, will contain a blend of these three, different amounts depending on the winery and the type of wine they're looking for. Other grape varieties that are admitted are Chardonnay. For rosé sparkling wine, they might use Garnacha or Monastrell, even Pinot Noir on occasion. And a grape variety that's typical of certain areas of Catalonia called Trepat. Some other differences. Well, Cavas are usually a blend of the three wines or the three wine grapes, as I was mentioning before, from that year. While Champagne will often blend wines from different vintages, this is actually something that is done when they make sherry down south in Andalusia. But in Catalonia, they usually use wine from the latest vintage. Cavas are also generally younger wines. Most wines are out on the market within 4 years. And naturally, the soil composition and the climates are very different, and they will contribute to a different final product. When did all this sparkling wine come about? Well, as far as we know, it didn't start in Spain, that's for sure. It started in other countries. Tradition attributes it to the French, and in particular to a monk named Dom Pérignon, who did exist and was a winemaker from the Champagne region. But even though he contributed to modern winemaking in a number of ways, ironically, the carbonated feature wasn't one of it, or at least intentionally. In fact, he didn't like it and considered it to be sort of a defect in the wines. And spent much of his life trying to find ways to get rid of it, which is pretty ironic considering his name is on the most famous champagne in the world. But bubbly became popular in other places like England. In fact, there are documents written by Englishmen previous to Dom Pérignon, which go into detail about the sparkling wine process. So it's quite possible that the technique was actually developed in England before France. In any event, production was limited because of a problem with the glass, the material, and that was that the bottles were just too weak and they would explode. Apparently, sometimes people handling them would have to have a iron mask covering their faces so they wouldn't get maimed by the bottles that were exploding. Finally, in the early 19th century, different countries came up with the technology. Some say it was the Germans, others say it was the English, but the bottom line is they came up with a champagne bottle that was going to withstand the pressure created by this fermentation process. And it was just about that time that the technique had moved to the northeast of Spain, where it developed. In the latter half of the century, the first wines were known as Champagne from Reus, which is a small city in the south of Catalonia. But the true Cava is said to have been made for the first time in San Sadurní d'Anoia in 1872. 4 years they were marketed as a type of Spanish champagne, and they actually used the word champagne. Sales were particularly brisk in the United Kingdom. But the French producers took them to court, and since 1972, the word cava has been officially used, though sometimes people will informally refer to it as champan or champagne. By the way, cava, comes from the Catalan word for cave or cellar, as in wine cellar. The Catalans love their cava. They will drink it all the time. They will drink it before, during, and even sometimes after a meal. But don't think that's as advisable as tradition would have it. We always know that people like to toast at the end of a meal, but the dryness of the drink doesn't often pair well with a dessert, and the carbonation will trigger some pretty serious bloating, which is why sometimes the sparkling wine at the end of a meal has regrettable results. But it is that very dryness, and cava can be quite dry, that makes them ideal for pairing with foods like shellfish or marisco, as they call it in Spain. Anyway, the list of different types of cavas goes as follows, and I'm going to go from the driest to the sweetest. You have Brut Natur, which has no sugar added. You have Extra Brut, Brut, Extra Seco, which is extra dry, Seco, which is dry, Semi Seco, which is sort of semi-sweet, really, and then Dulce, sweet. And then you have wines, probably higher-end wines, which have a longer aging period. You have Cava Reserva, which goes from 18 to 30 months of crianza, Gran Reserva, which is longer than 30 months, and then you have Cava de Paraje Calificado. That's a new thing, which refers basically to single vineyard wines, vineyards that are known for their exceptional quality of grapes and probably only exceptional vintages. And the minimum there would be 36 months. Cavas are good, reliable, sparkling wines, generally very tasty, somewhat fruity, and especially refreshing. One of their best selling points is their price range. They usually run anywhere from about 5 to 15 euros, and then the pricier ones go maybe from the 15 to 30 euro range. And you will find some high-end stuff, beyond that, 50, 60, 80 euros. But for the most part, they're on the lower end. So that makes special celebrations a little more doable for most budgets. In terms of exports, Cava is situated third behind the leaders, France and Italy, but it is solidly placed in that position and sales are increasing. It currently exports about 10% of all sparkling wine. According to some reports, Freixenet's Cordon Negro, for example, is the number one imported sparkling wine in the world. I'm not sure if that's 100% true, but it could be. That's a funny one because I can remember buying it, 30 years ago, when I was in the States, and it's still very popular. In fact, at the time, I didn't think it was Spanish. The name Freixenet, as they say in Spanish, we would say Freixenet, so it sounded Frenchy. It was quite cheap and still is. Ironically, it's not as common in Spain as it is probably abroad. Since Spain is a major producer of sparkling wine, most of what's available is found here. So check it out, especially at this time of year, with the holidays coming on. In addition to that, visiting the wineries that specialize in sparkling wine is a true treat, an experience well worth doing. Going to wineries is fun in general, but this process is different. So when you see it for yourself, you get so much more out of how it's made. It's a unique experience. Plus, many of the wineries, not all of them, but a number of them, are from the turn of the 20th century. We're talking about 1900, a little bit before that. And so it was the Art Nouveau period, which was so popular in Catalonia, and you will see some of that architecture reflected in the wineries. It is fairly easy to set up a visit with many of these places, especially if you check out the larger producers like Freixenet, Jouve, Écampes, or Cordon Nuit, where tours are available every day, basically, and in different languages. But for a more intimate visit, you can try a smaller one and see what they do, which is often very interesting. And remember, if you're not in Catalonia, you can still learn about cava in other places like Rioja, Navarra, Valencia, or Extremadura. This last sub-region, as I said, which is right next to Portugal, has really come on strong in the last few years. And I think that will be all for today for Let's Open a Bottle, the podcast brought to you by Brian Spain Domain. We hope you've enjoyed it. Please feel free to leave us any comments because we love the feedback. You can subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Apple, Amazon, and Castos. Or if you wish to support Brian Spain Domain, we'd greatly appreciate it. We work very hard to provide you with the best information about Spain, Spanish history, and Spanish culture. And you can do so by clicking on our PayPal donate button, or if you want to have access to absolutely all of our podcasts and support us regularly, you can check us out on Patreon at the link provided below. Cheers, or salud, as they say in Spain. Stay well, stay safe, and hasta pronto.